The Tarncast, Tarncast, the Tarncast, Tarncast, it's the Tarncast, Tarncast, the Tarncast, Tarncast, the Tarncast, Tarncast, it's the Tarncast, Tarncast, this is the Tarncast, Tarncast, the Tarncast, the Tarncast.
Hello, 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 welcome to the Tarncast. We are here with our wonderful, amazing, sarcastic, yet sweet guest, Todd, period, Robert, period, Anderson, otherwise known as Tra. Say hello.
Hi. Hi. What's your name, host of the show?
My name is Alexandre Antoine.
Antoine?
Yes.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Antoine.
I always thought it was Antoine.
That's how you should say it, but since we can't actually write that down, I go by Dre, which is easier. Yes, like Dr. Dre. It just makes it easier. So, my name is Alexandre Antoine, and I'm sitting across from Tra.
Tra.
T.
That's me. Tra.
Odd.
Tra.
Ra.
Todd.
Bird.
Odd.
And
I put the odd in Todd.
Son. Yes, you do. So, first of all, congratulations on your role on You're the Worst and for getting picked up for a second season.
Yeah.
I'm watching you religiously and I am laughing.
Well, thank you very much.
At you, not with you. I'm just kidding.
Good, good. You should, my character should be laughed at and not with.
Yeah.
Like, you relate to my character on that show, you have problems.
Well, I know a few people like your character on the show, unfortunately. So, I don't know if I have problems or if I just need to get a new circle of friends.
I am a little disappointed because I've been in public a lot since that show aired, you know, at like the grocery.
Yeah.
Or CVS. And no one's yelled trash juice at me. And I find that disconcerting.
You know, you can hire people to do that now.
I should.
A Twitter account, am I correct?
I do have a Twitter.
So what you do is you get on Twitter and say, hey, folks, I might be at Target today.
Oh.
Around this time in aisle so-and-so. If you want to pop by and yell.
Trash juice.
Oh, trash juice?
Trash box.
I like trash box better.
Trash box. But it wasn't in a box, though. It was in a...
container.
The trash juice was in a garbage can.
Mm.
Have you seen the last episode of
I've seen everything.
Ones?
I told you I was watching it.
So, remember, I have a big, giant trash can filled with boozy juice.
Yes. Yes.
Boozy
that
juice.
Was the classiest thing I'd ever seen on TV and in my life. And I was wondering and kicking myself why that's never happened to me in real life. Going
why
to a barbecue and seeing a trash juice.
Well, I understand that's like a real thing.
No way.
Although what show creator and showrunner Steve Falk learned was that nobody has really called it trash juice before. It's usually called like
Yo mama.
Garbage can punch or something like that.
I like that too.
Garbage can
punch.
Yeah.
And then you can also play a game along with it where you're actually punching the garbage can.
You can.
When it's
but
empty.
Then you'll you gotta wait.
When it's so you gotta
to
drink
finish.
All of it and then afterwards, okay, punch the garbage can.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right, Rusty, or you know.
Yeah, punch the can.
Yeah.
You assholes.
Punch the can. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
come
a
on.
New game that
yeah.
we can have this coming summer.
Yeah.
But it's always summer in LA.
It is always summer and it's awful.
I love it.
Oh, you like the heat?
I like the heat.
I get these headaches when the weather changes, and the last like few weeks have been intolerable because the weather keeps changing, fluctuating so drastically. My head just has been hurting.
Oh,
I don't like it.
Well, you need to get on some drugs. Wink, wink.
Well, I do take drugs, but they don't, you know.
But not from the street corner.
Not the street corner drugs?
Not the street corner drugs.
But the pharmaceutical stuff is not cutting it. I'm going to smoke some crack.
Oh, no.
I'll bet that'll make it go away.
I'm going to get you a counselor at the end of this interview.
Please do.
Yes. I have a really, really interesting question, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Before you started your fabulous career as an actor, what was your best non-acting job?
My best non-acting job?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Stripping?
No, I didn't strip. I can't strip. I don't have the package for it.
That you can buy, too, by the way. At Target.
You can get a larger package at Target?
Imagine
but is that just
Target.
Like a, you tuck it in your pants and it makes it look bigger? Or is it actually...
Yeah,
I don't
Because you don't
that.
Have to do the full Monty.
Like, what are those things that... actresses have to wear.
Oh, yeah. I forget what it's called.
They're like,
the little...
No, no, not tassels. Like, when they want their boobs to look bigger, they're like...
Mine, like, I call it Victoria's Secret. Oh, gels. The gel.
The gel things. Yeah. What are those called?
I call them the gel things.
The gel?
Yeah.
Titty gels?
Titty gels. Yeah, titty gels.
Yeah. I think if you're going to be a male stripper, you have to have the real...
schlong.
Yeah. Yeah. In case you're, you know, full montying. And when you strip, you know, after hours to make extra money, you hook. And I...
strip and hook.
If I'm going to gigolo it, I feel like, you know, it has to be more impressive.
All right. I think you're cutting yourself a little short, but...
I didn't cut myself short. God did.
Oh, my. But we love you. Alleluia. All right. But tell me. Okay, so if it wasn't stripping, what was your best non-acting gig?
Well, I had a lot of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite was during the summers when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
I was a janitor. Mm. A summertime extra hand janitor at my high school. So the high school was empty, you know, because there were no kids, and it was just, you know, the skeleton crew, and we did all the, like, summer maintenance, you know, re-waxing the floors.
Wow.
And scraping the gum off the bottom of desks and shit.
Oh my God. And you're kind of OCD, so you like that stuff, right?
I did. Well, and I could listen to my Walkman. That was back in the days of the Walkman.
Aww.
Remember the cassettes? I had my mixtapes.
That's so cute.
I'd listen to my mixtapes and the radio.
George Michael, Boy George,
yeah.
Thompson Twins.
Yeah, and then I'd lay down wax and buff it with the buffer.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, it was.
You really
like
that job out of all the
I did because,
days.
You know, my janitor bosses were really cool.
Okay.
And it was an interesting way to see, like, because a lot of the teachers were there.
Oh.
And then the headmasters were there.
Right.
So, like, the headmaster, it wasn't a private school, but they still called them headmasters because it was a ritzy ritz,
Richy
white place to be. So, his name was, Dick Wakely.
No way.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody used to say, Dick Wakely before he dicks you.
Oh, God. Why would he not just go by Richard?
I don't know. Well, he called him Mr. Wakely. I mean, it wasn't a hippie school. I had one math teacher, my geometry teacher, sophomore year, who was like, call me Keith. But everybody else was... He got in trouble. But it wasn't for that.
Uh-oh.
He brought in... I shouldn't be telling this, but telling tales out of school.
Yeah.
But he brought in... His wife had a miscarriage.
No, don't finish this.
And,
are you serious?
Uh-huh. And he brought in photographs of his stillborn
no,
baby.
No, to prevent teen pregnancy?
I have no idea what he was thinking. I think he was just grieving.
Wow.
And, you know, and he was like a hippie. He was a cool guy. He was a nice guy and a good teacher. But I think something snapped. And
he really, and like really
he was
did that?
Like, yeah, like way oversharing in the most inappropriate way, you know?
Oh,
but
my.
Maybe in his mind it was like, this is like how
what
life
happens,
works.
This is
the
life.
Reality.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I mean, who does that? Who takes pictures of your
stillborn
baby
and then shares it with
and
the
then,
class?
And like, walks around with it. Kind
no,
of
he was mourning. That's something.
Yeah. He was mourning, and there was something had happened. Something in his mind had snapped a little bit, I think.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We had a lot of teachers who snapped.
So it must have been something about that school.
I think it was the, like, kids coupled with the, you
money
know,
coupled
the
with
moneyed parents who were, you know.
And the headmaster
you know,
Dick.
What's it called? Like, you know, privileged
silver spoon.
What's it called when you expect things?
Privileged.
Yeah, but privileged, not just privileged, entitled. That's
okay,
it.
Entitled. Okay,
they're
okay.
Like, you know, very self entitled. You know, people, and I think that was hard on some teachers. But also, I just, you know, it was a public school, so you know there was a public school element to it. I had a science teacher who was committed before the end
of
the school year. I think that was my sophomore year too. And he was weird.
Oh God.
Yeah. He was a weird guy and he was really soft spoken, and then but then he would like snap if he got pushed too far. And there was this one bully kid at the school who would hide in the this guy had courtyard duty during the lunch period.
Okay,
to catch kids smoking and
making out,
and this kid, this bully kid, would hide, would pull up the sewer drain.
Are you kidding?
And he'd get inside the sewer drain. And when And when this guy, this is so mean. When this guy is like walking around alone in the courtyard, because there was nobody there was never anyone there because they knew a teacher was there. So they went and smoked and made out like in the woods, which wasn't that far away.
Right.
It was all surrounded by woods. So he would walk through and he'd think he's all alone, and then this kid would be in the drainage pipes, like whispering up through the grate. Just whispering his name.
And freaking the teacher out?
Yeah.
Do you think that's why he kinda...
No, I think he was an unstable individual, but I mean, like, this is one of the elements that I'm sure pushed him over the edge.
And he never discovered, oh, that was that douchebag kid.
I don't think so.
And no one ever told him. So all of you guys are laughing about this.
I think he probably thought he was hearing voices.
That is brilliant.
Mm.
And what's more brilliant is no one told the teacher, or the teacher never said, hey, guys, when you're walking in the courtyard, does you ever hear any...
Well, I didn't find out about this in my defense. I did not find out about this until after
he was committed.
This man was, committed to a mental institution.
I wonder, is that bully laughing about this now, or does he feel bad about this now?
I don't know. He's the very bully he used to beat me up
on a
almost daily basis when I was an underclassman. My whole freshman year was, like, spent in terror of this guy.
Like, physically for real beat you up, or just, like, push you against a locker?
It was humiliating. He was on the football team, and he had, like, all the football upperclassmen.
Okay.
And, like, it was the dumbest thing. They, like, had this, like, kind of gang, and they called themselves the Authority. And they would all like dress. They would wear the same black T-shirts that had a question mark on it, which at the time was a T-shirt that meant question authority.
Okay.
But they called themselves the Authority.
Oh, okay.
And then walked around with question marks on their shirt,
thinking they're being clever.
Or just not understanding what they were doing. They knew it had to do with authority, but they didn't understand if you're calling yourself the Authority
then
and wearing do you want me to question authority? And I'm a little bit of a wise guy. I've grown to be much a louder wise ass in my adulthood, but when I was there, I was pretty quiet. But like one day, like first couple weeks of high school, I was just it was the 80s. And it was New England. So I had big, boots on.
Okay.
But I didn't really tie them, because that was like a thing.
Yeah.
Like, don't tie your boots. You just walk around. So I was kind of like, my boots were kind of dragging.
Right.
And he's like, why? Stop dragging your feet. And I was like,
what do you care?
What do you care? And he's like, are you talking back?
Are you serious?
I was like, no, I'm just walking, And then after that, he was just obsessed with me. And after lunch period, he would come, him and the rest of the Authority would come, and they would push me up against lockers and shit and start fucking with me. And then they'd all like grab me and pick me up, and they'd throw me into the girls' bathroom.
Well, that was a little plus to that side, right? You got to sneak a peek.
In this girl's bathroom, nobody was.
Okay.
I mean, I know that in girls' bathrooms, there's a lot of like lesbian play and
stuff.
Well,
in the Porky's movies.
And pillow fights happen into making out.
Sucking on lollipops. Of course.
Yeah. But this particular bathroom, they didn't do that. these girls, they were hilarious. They would smoke in the bathroom, and they had a coffee maker in there.
Really?
Yeah, and they would smoke and drink coffee in the bathroom.
Oh, that's amazing!
And a couple of them I actually worked with. Speaking of jobs, I worked with at the local apple orchard. They were like my managers.
Oh my gosh!
So they knew me. So these guys would throw me in the bathroom to humiliate me.
Hmm.
And they would, like, yell at them, well, you guys are being assholes, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But after a while, you know, the guys would come and be like, all right. You don't have to throw me in. I'll go in of my own accord. And I'd go in and, like, have a cup of coffee.
God,
with the girls.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So then what do you think, like, you considered that bullying? And what we're hearing now in today's society of, like, cyberbullying and this and the other, do you think that was more traumatic back then? Or do you think the stuff that's happening to kids now is, like, way more traumatic where they're taking their lives, their own lives and stuff like that? Like, I'm trying to understand the difference between, you know, bullying someone and just teasing them badly or to the point where these poor children are actually killing themselves.
Well, I mean, I don't know that these children aren't being treated in much the same. I mean, it's like my freshman year when I say I was living in terror. I mean, I was terrified.
Really?
Yeah. It was. I mean,
you never told a teacher.
So much of what bullying is isn't necessarily like actually like beating you
right
within an inch of your life. That's different. That's okay. Assault. Right. Bullying is humiliation.
Right.
And I think, you know, when you talk about cyberbullying, so much of that is, like, humiliation.
Yeah.
And so often now, with the internet, you know, some unsuspecting girl makes out with a guy, gets naked, and they get pictures of her, and then they put slut shame her all over the internet. And, you know, I that's a huge thing. I mean, but, I mean, it's similar. I'm not saying that my thing was worse.
Well, did you tell your parents or did you tell the
teachers? I told my parents and I told I went to my guidance counselor and I said, look, you can't tell who you heard this from.
Okay.
But I'm getting humiliated every day. So if you guys could get a teacher in that hallway, then they're not going to do it. So that helped, you know, they would, you know, station a teacher there for a while, but then no events would happen. So then the teacher would disappear. And as soon as the teacher disappeared, then I was fucked again.
Ready to attack.
Right. So, I mean, and it wasn't till my sophomore year that I mean, I just went ballistic on these guys. I just started fucking throwing punches. I mean, they're all way bigger than me. I was
good
a skinny kid, but I just like freaked out on
them. What was
them.
The thing that pushed your button? Like, what made you snap that one?
It was freshman year, it was all year. And then the beginning of sophomore year, they started it up again.
Okay,
and I was like, Jesus, fucking no way.
No. Okay.
And I had, you know, made a friend and a couple friends who were upperclassmen through doing the theater.
Okay.
So one of those guys who was also on the football team, when he saw me freaking out, he stepped in and said, fuck off, you guys.
Awesome.
Leave them the fuck alone. So then it kind of got. It was better in school, but then, like, they started getting me out of school. Like,
really?
I had to be careful when I went to parties and all
that shit.
My God,
the grudge that they're holding, you did nothing to them.
Right.
So angry in their lives. Like, I wish you could look all of them up right now and see where they are, what became of their lives.
Yeah. Well, and then they used to throw dead animals on my front door. They used to drive by and, like, huck dead animals
like
at my house.
Like squirrels and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, this kid was like fancied himself a hunter.
Wow.
So he'd kill like small animals.
It's like straw dogs up in here.
Yeah, it was like straw dogs. He was really, he's a creepy dude. But like a few years ago now, he actually friended me on Facebook.
You didn't friend him back, did you?
Fuck no.
Okay.
You know, but like some of my friends were like, well, you know, because some of them still know him because they still have ties to this small town.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, he's grown up. I was like,
what?
Well, fuck off. He didn't write me a letter of apology. He didn't say I feel terrible.
Because
like some of the guys who used to hang with him in this authority have since like said, I am so sorry.
Really?
Yeah. It's like that scene in Billy Madison where Adam Sandler's Billy Madison calls Steve Buscemi's character and it's just like, hey man, I treated you really bad in high school and I feel terrible. And Buscemi's like, oh, well, that's okay. Hey, thanks for calling, man. And and Adam Sandler's like, yeah, maybe we can go get some coffee or something sometime. And he's like, yeah, I'd really like it.
And then they hang up, and then Steve Buscemi goes to a list, like, on the wall behind him that says people to kill, and he crosses off Billy Madison.
Oh, I love it.
And then he takes a lipstick and puts lipstick on, and then just lies back and looks all cozy, peaceful.
Oh, my God.
It's really funny. But, like, that sort of, you know, I'm not a psycho killer, and I wasn't tracking people down, but, you know, a couple guys were like, once we were adults, were like, I feel really bad about that.
That's
like,
so nice.
And I said to him, well, thank you. I mean, I forgive you, I guess. Okay. I mean,
because you don't really hold a grudge, right?
It was awful. Against this guy, particular guy, I mean, no. I mean, I don't, like, hold a grudge.
Right.
But I don't want to be his friend.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, and it's these guys who, you know, apologize to me. It's like, okay, thanks, man. But I don't want to fucking hang out with them. I don't want to hang out with anybody.
Anyone who would act that way for an entire year.
When I was an upperclassman, I was a wise ass dick to some lowerclassmen, for sure, and said some mean things to people, but I never terrorized people.
Right.
Like, half the time, I was, like, making fun of people and they didn't even know it. It was just my friends would catch it, and it was mean, but it wasn't. I never would have terrorized anybody to that degree
because
it's just not my
and it
thing.
Does stay with you. Not to say that you go to bed crying every night now thinking about it, but it does. When you think of your freshman year of high school, you probably do like, well, this it would have been okay if that didn't happen.
Right.
So that's
And I was bullied a lot, you know, throughout elementary school and everything. So I definitely think that that whole element of my childhood is definitely still with me.
Yeah.
And I still have, like, a lot of, I think, insecurities and social anxieties because of that.
I can completely... And you never... I don't know. Like, did you ever talk to someone professionally? Do you want to talk about this now? Did you ever talk to someone professionally?
Like, in therapy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to therapy a bunch of times. I mean, but it's like therapy is... It only runs so far. You know, I tell you, you know, the therapist the story, and they're like, yeah, I mean, there's nothing...
They can do
it. They're not going to fix it. It's just like you air it, and you say, well, this is going on because it's not something that you... I mean, I've talked to friends about it, too, but it's not like... It's the sort of thing that it just never goes away.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? I think any kind... I mean, and this is a very mild form of abuse, like in the grand spectrum... but any kind of abuse and assault and anything like that,
you
never really get over it. You learn to live with your fears and you tackle your fears.
Try to, but yeah, it does affect you and it does. I mean, everything in life affects you, and that you know that's I guess being human.
Right.
There's not one person in this world that something has not happened to them.
Whether
it's physically, emotionally, mentally, coming from a messed up family, your ex-boyfriend did something, your sister did something. So there is always going to be something. But I think this is the best F you to them to see that you have moved on and you're happy and living your life and, you know, doing what you want to do. And
yeah,
I think
that's true.
And good for them, some of them, to come back to you and say, look, man, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, that's the power of being on television.
Well, they might still have done that. I would hope.
I don't know how much they'd be aware of me.
If you were.
You know, I mean, I think a lot of people that I grew up with are aware, you know, because most people aren't aware of me because most of what I do is commercials. But if you know me, then you see me in a commercial, you're like, holy shit, that's Todd in a commercial.
Okay.
So a lot of these people from my hometown have seen me in commercials and they're like, you know, they're like, oh, that's awesome. He's really making it. And, you know.
And you are.
Sure, I guess.
You are, which brings me to my next question. I'm just curious, which commercial did you have the most fun shooting? Like, what character, what were you, well, you can't say what you were selling, but which one was, like, the best, like, you had so much fun?
I can say what it's for.
Okay.
I did a series of commercials. It was also kind of a heartbreaker, the way the job went away, but I did a series of commercials is the closest thing I've ever been to like a spokes guy role. And I shot him. The director's name was Tom Schiller.
Okay.
Tom Schiller is an old SNL guy.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember, like in the 70s and 80s too, there were these things called Schiller's Reels. And they were little short films that they would air during the thing. Like, they're like probably the most famous one because it's like darkly ironic, you know, because of time, was of John Belushi and imagined him like as an old man.
Ooh.
And he goes and visits a graveyard and all the SNL players are all dead, you know, and he's looking at their names on the gravestones and talking about how much he liked working with them, and then he dances on their graves.
Wait, this is supposed to be funny, or was
the Schiller's reels weren't always hysterical.
Yeah.
A lot of them were just straight up funny, but this one was, you know, they could be weird and surreal, and they were the kind of things they put on late in the show. So, like, if you look at Belushi's The Best of Belushi, at least I don't know if the DVD has it. I don't think the DVD has it because it's probably too disturbing.
Yeah.
But in the 80s, the VHS Best of John Belushi, that was how it ended with Schiller's reel. So anyway, Tom Schiller, really funny guy, a lot of fun to work with. And the nature of the thing was I was asking people, how do you get your fiber? How do you eat your fiber? And you should eat your fiber in frosted mini wheats. Like, that's a great delivery system. Because his fiber was sugar on it.
We won't tell
sugar. Anything. Yeah. Yeah. But so, and it was just fun because I was running up to people and yelling, and we were.
You're like Billy Eichner.
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. It was very Eichner-esque in a corporate commercial sort of way. And, you know, every commercial, we would shoot like three or four at once, and we would go to tons of different locations. We did like one set in LA and then another set the next year in New York.
Wow.
So, and it was like they cast all these weird. In the New York one, I was like talking to a like actual hardcore Hell's Angel biker guy, and he was pretty funny and scary at the same time.
Love it.
But yeah, I had a really good time on that.
Then did you have a character name, or did you introduce? You never introduced yourself, right? I think I remember the commercial.
No, I was just like I was just the fiber guy. I think that's what they called me, the fiber guy.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
and I did enough of those. Like that was one of the few times that people, like strangers on the street, would recognize me. Like I'd be walking in Santa Monica to go to an audition, and someone would drive by and go, "Fiber,
love it."
Yeah, that was the only time that ever happened.
And then you do the point and the wave,
right? Right. And then they were gonna do like a third round of them where I was gonna. You know, I said to my agent, you got to get me more money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to get me under contract and get me more money because if this is going to wreck my acting career, I need to make some Verizon guy money. Although, the Verizon guy was there around at that point. I can't remember. But anyway, I was like, I got to make some spokes guy money if I'm going to keep doing this. But before it came to that, they dropped the campaign because the United States government, the FDA said it's no longer about fiber, it's about whole grains.
Okay.
Because some lobbyists wanted it changed or something. And so they changed the campaign to like a cartoon frosted mini wheat saying he was full of wheat or whole grains or whatever.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was a drag.
But you had your. Have you ever bought like a splurge gift? Like after you had like booked a bunch of commercials, made a bunch of money, was there anything that you really had wanted and said, you know what, I'm going to go all out? Not like a new car or maybe a new car. Was there something that you've always wanted that you said, I'm going to do it. I earned this.
Well, when I first started getting residuals and I didn't have a child and I wasn't even married yet, I just bought a lot of movies.
That's your splurge?
Yeah, I mean, that's like what.
Love it.
Like, if you look around my office, you see I have lots and lots of movies.
I love it.
I like collecting movies. Some might call it a problem.
Well, no, I mean, I like collecting movies too. It's definitely, if you guys could ever see what I see, it's literally bookshelves and bookshelves of movies from action to sci-fi to, you know, TV shows to everything.
Yeah, it's
so anything it's you would ever want to watch. This is we got HBO right here in this house, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I think that's awesome that you have this movie collection, and that was your
the other thing. Well, the first big residual I got, there was this flower shop on the corner of Laurel Canyon and Moore Park, and I lived down the street on Moore Park.
Okay,
and I used to drive by it all the time, and they had a big giant stuffed gorilla outside. It was like 4.5 feet tall. And I was like, I walked in. I was like, how much is this gorilla? And they're like, oh, it was $100. And
really?
I was like, all right, I want a $100 gorilla.
Seriously?
Yeah. So I bought a big stuffed gorilla. And they told me, Kim Basinger just bought one of these from us the other day. I was like, well, all right.
That's amazing. But what is your obsession again with gorillas?
I don't know. I always had a thing for primates. I find them interesting.
Yeah, Todd, if, in case you don't know, had, where is it, by the way? You don't have it?
Hill, the wife, made me put it in the garage.
Lovely. Okay, there was this huge, huge gorilla that would sit in one of the rooms, and, I mean, huge, like you can hug him or sit in his lap, and it was like Todd's...
It's my gorilla.
Yeah, you're... Yeah. Yeah, no name? Never named him?
No, I never named him.
$100 gorilla, you can't even give him Gary the Gorilla, nothing?
No, I didn't name him. Was I supposed to name
him? Well, if you could pay $100 for this damn thing, give him a name.
Oh. All right, I guess Basinger.
Basinger the Gorilla. That's it. So anyways, this thing was huge, very lovable. His arms could wrap all the way around you, and it would scare the shit out of me every single time I'd walk into the room and the light was off. But I'm just saying, I guess that's a cute splurge gift. So you're very, very, you're not too showy and, yeah, I bought this new car and look at my suit. Good for you that you wanted some movies and a gorilla.
Sure.
You are a cheap date.
I'm very simple. Yeah. I mean, now that I'm old, I like buy, if I get a good job, I'll buy like a good bottle of scotch.
That's still very, you know.
That's about
very basic, very not no, too. Yeah, you didn't get caught up in this LA bullshit. So good for you.
I'm just not that way. I don't.
Good. I think
don't
that's
want
great.
Cars and stuff. Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, especially in the traffic out here. Like, why would you? You'd be sitting in your car in the 405 in your brand new car.
Yeah.
And the 405 still stuck in traffic.
Yeah.
Because you have a new car doesn't mean you don't have to deal with what
right,
we deal with.
Right.
So that makes sense.
Yeah.
So out of all these, I know this is a hard, 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 hard decision, but out of all these movies, like, what are some of the movies that you could just watch? Because I have a movie collection, not like yours, but there's some movies I could just put on and watch day after day after day. There's some movies that are just like, I just love it and can never get enough. Is there a movie that you would just could stick in your DVR?
There's a bunch. There's a bunch of movies that, like, you know, if I'm in a bad mood or something, I can put on and it'll make me feel better.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you ever do that, though? Do you just
play? Sure, okay. Yeah. I mean, well, John Carpenter's The Thing always makes me happy.
Really?
Yeah, I love that movie so very much.
Okay.
I just, there's something about it. Like, it's set, one, the special effects are unmatched because they're all practical, like, gross-out effects.
Okay.
And they're awesome. And real fire and explosions and all that stuff. You don't get that anymore.
Yeah, you do.
Not really. Oh, in B movies sometimes. But most of the big explosions now are CGI.
Oh, I see what you're trying to say.
You
okay.
know,
all right,
like the Equalizer, which I enjoyed.
That. Yeah, that's good.
That whole explosion where Denzel's just walking slowly away.
Love it.
From like, it's just like blowing up. Everything is exploding.
I
but
love
that
it, though.
Those explosions are all bullshit.
I know. That movie. Loved it.
Yeah. I loved it too. I thought it was, it's a really, I think it's kind of just fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Even though the weekend it came out, it was a rotten movie.
Really? It was?
Yeah, it was like 55%, but now it like got up to 61% after it opened.
I thought the action was amazing. I thought,
yeah, it was totally fun.
Denzel, you can't go wrong. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know what people expect from Antoine Fuqua, because I think Training Day was massively overrated. I mean, I think Training Day is a good B movie.
No, yeah.
But it's pretty dumb. But everybody made it out to be this important, like, undercover cop movie. And it's just like, no, this is a B movie. And he just let Denzel Washington chew fucking scenery. I'm King Kong! It was nonsense.
Yeah.
But the critics loved it. And then ever since then, like, Antoine Fuqua movies, which are dumb B movies, like Olympus Has Fallen and The Equalizer and stuff like that, they're just, like, hyper-violent B action movies. They're like very 80s in a way. And The Equalizer is based on an 80s TV show.
Yeah. And it works, though. We need to, I think, though, at least Antoine is bringing it back. I'd rather go see The Equalizer than see, you know, I can't even think of anything else where it's just kind of like, I don't know. I can't think. There's some action movies where you're like, come on.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Even the Mission Impossibles now with Tom.
Well, that's what I like about The Equalizer, sort of, in like, the Expendables movies, you know, is they're old. There's no pretension to them. You know, and most action movies now are
They're fucking superhero movies.
And unrealistic. After a huge fight scene, they have a scratch over their eye. And
yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily have a problem with that, although it's cool. Well, it's cooler if they get busted up.
Yeah. It's not cooler. It's realistic.
Yeah, it's more realistic. Not that The Equalizer is realistic on any level, but, but he's just a guy. I guess that's my thing, is like there's so few action movies now where it's a guy and, you know, he has to use weapons and stuff to fight people, as opposed to a guy who's got an Iron Man suit that can fly.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like the indestructibleness of X-Men and Spider-Man and all that stuff is not that interesting when it's a quote-unquote everyman.
Yeah.
Which The Equalizer really isn't. I heard about this movie. I haven't seen it yet. It's called Blue Ruin.
Okay.
But it's basically, I guess, about a guy who decides to get revenge on people, but he doesn't have a certain set of skills like Liam Neeson and Taken.
Powers.
He doesn't, well, and he's not like a special ops guy. Like most of the guys who are human in action movies, like The Equalizer, are
something where they know.
Like they knew all the weapons experts and all this stuff. So what I understand about this movie is he doesn't. He's got to figure it out. No, I mean it's out. It's like a low budge movie it's streaming on Netflix now.
Oh, all right.
But I ran into Steve Agee the other day,
and
he was like, "Oh, you got to see this movie. It's my favorite movie of the year."
Right on.
But that's what it basically is. It's a revenge movie with a guy who doesn't know how to get revenge. He's just
so. Would that be like your ideal action character? Like, if you were in an action movie, would you want? What would you want your special skills to be? Would it be boxing? Would it be weapons? Would it be, you know?
I like the idea of
sharpshooter.
But I like the idea of being an actual everyman.
Okay.
You know, because like Die Hard was the first sort of big, giant everyman, you know, movie. But he was still a cop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so he had some knowledge.
So like a genuine everyman. Like it would be kind of cool to see like a revenge movie with Tom Hanks. Where Tom Hanks is just Tom, like
Straw Dogs, like Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, sure, Straw Dogs.
He is an everyday man. He was like a teacher who all of a sudden had to fight these gangs.
That's true.
So
that's true.
That's an everyday man.
Yeah, but he wasn't really getting revenge. He was pushed into defending his house.
Right.
And there are weird, you know, misogynistic undertones to that movie, like his, you know, the concept that maybe she deserved it, sort of thing. And
sorry for giving anything away, guys.
And she, like in that character, his wife is sort of pushing him to be
to
a man.
Limit.
It's like a thing about being a real man versus
stand up
blah,
for
blah,
me.
Blah.
Yeah.
That sort of
fight.
Thing. Yeah, exactly.
But I do think the only reason why I mention that, because that is more of an everyday man who really, most guys are not getting into a fist fight every single day, and they don't know how to protect themselves, let alone their woman, if three dudes who fight all the time are coming at you.
Right.
So I just think I think that's why it only works for, you know, Die Hard and all these other movies, that you are an ex-cop, you do have some knowledge. I mean, have you ever shot a real gun?
Not in my lifetime.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So right now, if, you know, you have to defend yourself or whatever, okay, you don't have a weapon in the house, but a baseball bat and a cat. Like, what do you do?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I just think, I see what you're saying, but I don't know how interesting it would be. It might hit too close to home if you watch an action movie where it's like, oh my God, what's this guy going to do? He doesn't know how to fight. He doesn't even
know. I know,
how
but
to
it could be
weapon.
Really cool. I mean, it's like if he's smart, like you take like a early Tom Hanks performance.
Okay.
You know, like his character in The Burbs or whatever.
Oh, okay.
Where he's like a regular guy.
Okay.
He's a totally regular guy, but he's smart.
Okay.
You know?
Like Castaway.
And you put him... Sure. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, sure. But that was like a survival tale. So if you take that kind of character, Tom Hanks and Castaway, and instead of shipwrecking him with a volleyball...
Wilson. Still love you.
Yeah. Instead of doing that, you put him in a Taken situation.
Okay.
You know, where his family gets taken, and so those stakes are really high, and he's not going to sit back. Like, you can't just sit back. I mean, maybe he'd call the cops and all that stuff and try to, but realize, this is not working. You know, that would be a very interesting movie to me. Because usually in these movies, like, you take, like, Ransom, for example.
Yeah.
And you have like, he's just a rich guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, but he fights back against the kidnappers by using his money. So yeah. If the main character doesn't have any of those special things, including he's not money. Uber rich,
right.
Then, I mean, you're right, maybe it'll hit too close to home, but I think it would be a more awesome action movie if it hit that close to home.
Okay.
You know?
I just feel like people want the fantasy of something that they're not.
No, I agree.
You know,
I agree. But you can use, like, ultimately in that it's not going to be the most realistic portrayal. But it would be more of a rise
to watch this
normal guy become this fucking badass in the course of the movie, as opposposed to starting off this. With a badass, like Liam Neeson, you know, you've been taken, I'm going to find you, I'm going to kill you, blah, 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 blah.
I see what you're saying.
Well, what worked about the Bourne Identity, the first one, is that he didn't remember that he had all those skills. So he had an everyman quality.
No, but it came to him like second nature.
Well, but it confused him. Like, how do I know how to do that?
Yeah.
Like, in the first act, he's a more relatable character than, you know, Liam Neeson in Taken, where, you know, what's relatable about him is he's a dad, you know, and has a troubled marriage and all that stuff. That's relatable.
Right.
But, like, how he handles situations isn't entirely relatable.
As most.
But it's true, the Bourne eventually you learn. And that's why I didn't find the sequels very interesting, because they're just like a guy who's
using his skills.
Using his skills. And also, Paul Greengrass can't fucking hold the camera still, so you can see what's happening.
That was a huge complaint with a lot of people. Yeah, that was a little shaky. Yeah, I think I don't know what they were thinking, that maybe it just makes it more like, ooh, wow, like we're on the roof with them jumping around.
I guess. I mean, I go to movies to see things. That's my thing. I like to see shit. If I can't tell
what's happening.
Yeah, if Matt Damon walks into a room with a bunch of bad guys and then I can't see, and then he just walks out and they're all lying on the floor after all this shaky shit, I go, how did he do that? Like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And why didn't I get to see it? And I already knew Matt Damon was going to walk out of the room,
but just show
because
me.
It's not going to be the Bourne's not going to die because this is a franchise.
Exactly.
So the thing that's interesting to me is the choreography and the fights and like how they get out of a fight,
which is what makes it action.
Yeah, exactly. It's like these movies are kind of dumb, but like you watch like Statham Transporter movies, like that's what you watch the fight, and he like does all this crazy parkour and he dangles off of things and he ties fire hoses around his and hits people with the fire hose or these sliding on like oil and shit.
slow motion it sometimes so you can see exactly
exactly. It's more interesting that way. Show me the action. What I paid for.
Yeah, but so if you were, let's say they offered you to star in a video game.
Oh, okay.
What kind of, so you would be an everyday, like if it was a video game, you were starring in it, would you be the everyday man who, like a Taken situation, or like create your own video game starring in it? Would you have special powers, or would you just want
to
be the...
No, I think it'd be cool to do a video, like a zombie video game.
Oh, yeah?
Every man, yeah.
And so you'd be like, what's his name, Rick on Walking Dead?
Not a cop. I mean, that's okay. Like the go-to. Like the every time they say, "Oh, it's an everyman," he's usually a cop.
Sure.
That's not an everyman. That's a cop.
Okay.
You know, cops are not everymen. No. They're cops.
Not in LA.
They carry guns. Not anywhere anymore. Apparently, they're all a bunch of assholes as far as the media is concerned. Yeah. A lot of my relatives are cops, and they're perfectly good people. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
No, they're all very nice, level-headed.
Just kidding.
Even liberal-minded.
Wow.
Human beings. Yeah.
Are you winking? Or are you being for real?
No, I'm for real. I mean, I don't really know how they vote, but you know, when I talk to them, they're totally they're socially liberal people.
Good for them.
And they're not looking. I mean, these are small town cops. It's like a different ball of wax when you're in a big city.
Yeah.
Well,
good for them.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right.
Sure. Irish.
Oh, that's right.
A lot of cops.
Cops and firemen.
Yeah.
Not to stereotype.
Yeah. I don't actually have any firefighters, but cops. Yeah.
You could be the first. You could play a firefighter in the video game.
I don't think I'm good looking enough to be a firefighter.
Oh, shut up. Why? Because Chicago Fire? Get on that show.
Well, like, firefighters really are good. Like, that's the only show I can think of where when I saw, I mean, I'm never going to watch it.
I've watched it.
But is it all right?
It's okay. I mean, it's all right.
When I saw the poster, I was like, oh, they're all gorgeous. But you know what? That's cool, because they're firefighters, and firefighters are quite often very handsome. I don't know why, but it's very true. As opposed to, you know, when it's like what's that show, Scorpion or whatever? It's like a think tank of geniuses, and they're all gorgeous except for this one fat guy. So fuck you. I don't buy it. Why are they all gorgeous?
Well, that's the only way, unfortunately, once again, TV, movies, I guess everything has to kind of be a little bit untouchable, a little bit something that you strive to be or strive to reach for, and it can't just be like, oh, that's me.
Well, and it's like doctor. Like, every doctor show, the doctors are always gorgeous. How many gorgeous doctors have you had in your lifetime?
Not many, and they are overworked and tired and not, you know, freshly dressed and...
No,
it's very much like I can give you 5 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it, and then I'm out the door.
Yeah.
With my little health plan now, I better not even get so much as a cold because I'm not coming out of that hospital alive. So yeah, so it's the doctors. That
thanks, Obamacare.
Yeah, this is a rough time right now for a lot of people. But I'm just curious if you ever would watch a reality show.
Well, I did watch Steven Seagal Lawman in its entirety.
Of course you did.
Recently, I do this podcast with a friend that's an advice podcast for women. I'm sort of like the dumb sidekick.
Okay.
I can be there.
It's a female.
Yeah. She's like a psychologist and
like Dr. Drew.
Sort of. It's a little bit less. It's not that kind of, it's more practical. It's not, like, Dr. Drew's an asshole.
Everybody says that about him. Why do you feel that way?
Well, I feel like a lot of the TV doctors, like the big ones, like Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz and Dr. Drew look at his track record on Celebrity Rehab.
I don't watch that show. But they were already effed up before he even
The point is,
you can't fix somebody on a national TV show.
No, that's why I think he's irresponsible. And so many of the people who were on Celebrity Rehab have died. Yes, I can, because he's the host of the show and he's the doctor who's supposed to be helping them. But what he's really doing is exploiting them and their horrible habits and bad behavior for entertainment value.
Is that how you're looking at it?
Sure. I don't know how else to look at that.
You're not looking at it as like, hey guys, here's a little pulse into what happens in rehab. This is somebody who's trying to get off crack. This is, you know, these are some of the things we would talk about in therapy.
Right.
The same with like marriage counseling. You know, there's a reality show called Married Couples or whatever, and it's
I would never buy like anyone. There's no way of fixing your horrible either addictions or psychological problems or anything like that on television. There's just no way. There's a reason why when you check out into a rehab center, you're not allowed contact to the outside world.
That's true.
If there are cameras in your face, you are in direct contact with the outside world.
But we're not. Like right now, if they're filming us, we're not aware of what they're going to be seeing 3 months from now when it goes on TV. Do you get my point? So if you're in an intense therapy session with your therapist and you have a horrible addiction and your therapist is talking to you and there's just a cameraman standing in the corner filming this, I don't think it's going to affect you, you know, because...
I think that'll totally affect your treatment. How can a third party who's in the room with you observing your therapy not affect how, like,
you've never heard
if you're aware of being filmed, then whether you like it or not, there's going to be an element of performance. There's going to be you're going to be aware of that. That's why therapy happens behind closed doors in private.
I believe you, but I feel like every reality show, maybe they're all lying. I do feel like sometimes they say after a certain point, yeah, it's weird in the beginning. Some guy's following you around with a camera. But after a certain point, you start to forget that he is there. and you start to just say what you want to say and you know, go off and do whatever, and then you realize after the fact, oh my God, there's a camera there, we just film that. So yeah. I think once in a while you do, if someone is that quiet enough to follow you out with a camera and kind of stay, you know, not noticed, not doing close-ups in your face in the corner, eventually if you're getting in a heated discussion or argument with your wife or the marriage counselor or the therapist or whatever, you're not going to keep looking at the camera and, okay, honey, close your, lower your voice. I think in the heat of the moment, if you really are in some sort of a debate,
sure,
I don't think that, and that's what the reality TV.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's true, because I think that even if you're, if you get into a space where you're ignoring the camera and getting into it, yeah, or whatever, right, psychologically, you still know the camera's there. So, and especially when it comes to Dr. Drew and celebrities who need rehab. Addicts are a narcissistic people.
Yeah, yeah.
So what part of what they're doing when they're on their show is trying to get attention. So they're, you know, exploiting their own problems to, yeah, get attention. And whether or not they get lost in an argument or a conversation about their addiction or whatever, there's still this element of they're being watched and they're getting attention. And that's, yeah, feeding into their addiction. Yeah, that's feeding into their addiction. So I don't know how that possibly can be good treatment. And Dr. Drew makes boku bucks off of that shit. And most of the people who go through his rehab program do not come out rehabilitated.
That's awful.
That is the definition of failure as far as therapy.
But he still shows and he's still – so
he's rich. He's not a good doctor. He's a good businessman and perhaps – a good, however unscrupulous, entertainer.
Yeah.
He knows how to make money
and
by exploiting
it,
people.
He's on, yeah, Mom, yeah. He's on, you know what I mean? Yeah. He still knows how to, like. Yeah.
Well, and then you have assholes like Dr. Oz giving people horrible advice about how to lose weight. You know,
you think he is?
Oh yeah, he did this whole. He did this whole thing. He retracted so much stuff about how to lose weight. Like he had this whole series about losing weight. I can't remember what it was. It was like some bullshit secret. And then he finally came out and said, "No, this doesn't really work." You know,
I don't remember that. That was, okay.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's how it goes away. They go, "Ah, yeah, sorry, it doesn't really work. I retract all of that." And then they go on to the. They go, yeah, yeah. They go on to the next thing. I think it's. It's icky.
All right, so that means that you would if
so I would never watch anything.
You would never watch one, and if a production crew came to you and said, "We think you're really interesting, Todd. We just want you to be yourself. Is it okay if we follow you around with the camera while you're hanging out with your wife and kids and your friends? You're going on the set. Can we make a reality show out of you?" Would you say yes or no?
Probably no.
Seriously,
the reality television does not pay its stars very well. If I was getting paid a lot of money,
and you're not going to act a fool. It's not Bad Girls Club. You're just being yourself.
Yeah, they can cut things and make you look like a fool no matter how you're acting, and they can take things out of context all the time.
Sometimes, but I think
that's
if you're pretty straightforward, you're not up, down, all around.
Yeah, but which is exactly why they would never ask me to do a reality television show.
They would ask you if you had a huge following, because I think there are a lot of...
Sure, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, you name an actor that you would... Not that you're obsessed with, but someone that you might be curious about. What do they live like? Like, what's their life like off camera? There's not one actor that you could think of where you're just like, I wonder how they are, like, what their house looks like,
no,
or what their relationship with their son is like.
No.
You've never, never had that curiosity.
No, because I don't give a shit about people's private lives. The only part about actors, writers, filmmakers that I give a shit about is their work, which is one of these things that I'm always at odds with, and I don't understand that about people. But like, people will sit and they'll read their Us Weekly
and learn about people
splitting up, and they'll judge their relationships and all that shit. And then, you know, and then whatever star who they're judging their relationships with, I'll say, "Hey, did you see their new movie? That was pretty bad." They'll go, "Oh, come on. You know, why are you so critical?" It's like, because that's... what they do. Like, that's what we should be focused on. Their work and their output, you know, and if they're doing a shitty job, then we should be critical. Not critical of their stupid dating life and all that. So anyway, because I'm doing this podcast where I don't give advice to women, but she does, and I just make jokes, she told me, I don't know. She was watching, because she likes reality TV.
Okay.
She said, hey, watch this reality TV show because maybe we'll talk about it. And it was called Naked Dating.
Oh. Which I, she made you watch that?
Which I watched a few episodes of. Ugh. Which...
it looks so stupid. I would never do it.
I don't... there's so many naked shows now. There's, like, Naked and Afraid and Naked, I don't know, Wood Chop, you know. like naked people in terrible situations. But Naked Dating sound all right because, you know, and the one interesting element about the show is, like, people who have never met each other who are meeting each other to possibly date and hook up meet each other naked. Ugh. And that, like,
unrealistic, but go on.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, it's reality TV. Of course it's unrealistic. Yeah.
Right.
But, like, it's producers jamming people into weird situations together and seeing what kind of fights ensue. But that part of the show was interesting because it was, like, honest, and it's, like, two naked people and they're meeting, and it's awkward and it's weird, and sometimes they talk about it and sometimes they don't, and, like, that was the only interesting part of the show. And then the rest of the show is them going on dates, and, like, weird dates, because they're on an island, you know, they have to be, they go to, like, a island with a mansion on it. It's like a private island.
Okay.
And they're all, well, because where else are you gonna shoot this naked, like, on the waivers they must have to sign and all that. So they do a lot of, like, outdoorsy stuff, like zip lining and horseback riding and riding ATVs and shit naked. And I'm like, you're zip lining naked? You have, like, a harness? And it just seems dangerous. It just seems dangerous.
My God. Well, do the couples have chemistry? Like, does it cut through the bullshit, the reason why they're
because, like, they're clearly casting, they're finding certain people who are a certain way, and they're casting them that way, and it's not, like, it's, that's not interesting to me. Like, oh, there's, that's my, sorry about that, that's my phone. It's just not, it's like, they'll have a couple really gorgeous people, and the gorgeous people wind up with each other.
Okay.
And then they have, like nerdy, less gorgeous people. But the nerds they find are so, like, neurotic and overly something.
Over the top.
You know? Right, and, like, they even had, like, in one of the episodes I watched, they had the crazy redheaded chick. It's like they're finding the stereotypes. And you must have to dig to find that chick. Because I know a lot of ginger women who are not crazy at all.
I think, hey, you want to be on TV? Okay.
Well, I think that's part of it. I think that's part of it. Yeah, you got to be kind of nuts to want to, like, naked.
Be naked on TV.
Yeah. Well, and then there's the biggest problem I have with naked dating is this. They blur out the naked parts. So what the hell is the point?
So that's when you go get the DVD with its
I don't know. I don't think – I'm sure that there's no such thing. I'm sure it's, like, in their contract.
Really?
Yeah, because it's not Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
I don't think that exists, but maybe it does.
I guess you're right.
I don't know. Yeah. I would be more interested to watch a show that stupid if I could see their naked parts.
Then try to watch Real Housewives of...
Because then it's exactly. Okay. Yeah.
All right. That's... I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense, especially what you're looking at all the movies and what you're really into. Why would you be into reality TV? Why would you be into... any of that
No,
crap.
I like stories. I mean, that's my thing. I like stories.
Well-rounded stories and stuff that you... So what kind of songs? Like, my... I've always been curious. What is... I know you don't like... I mean, you'll dance if you drink enough. But...
a lot.
What is the one song that if you hear it, you've got to get up and dance? It's like, oh, this is my jam! Like, is there any one song out there that no matter what, you'll be like, yeah, I have to move to this?
Jeez.
Isn't the BB, what were they called? The
BB Chung King and the Blue Heads. Yeah, Company Graveyard. Yeah, I'll get up for Company Graveyard.
And Jimmy Buffett, right?
Buffett's not so much a
dancing.
It's like drinking and bopping your head and singing. That's more of a sing-along situation.
Sing-along than a thing. Okay, so you do, so you will get up and dance to that. So what's the song that kind of makes you sad? The one that, like, you hear and it's like, oh.
Oh, Trouble by Cat Stevens.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Every time?
Yeah. It's really short, though, so that's good. It's only, like, 2 minutes.
Do you ever listen to that song, like, when you're preparing for a scene and your scene has to be, you know, you have to be sad, your character, do you ever, like, pull out that thing. You know how some actors are like, yeah, you know, I do this real emotional scene, so I just, like, locked myself in my trailer with an iPod, and I just played all sad songs that affect me. Does that help you ever in your preparation for a dramatic, traumatic scene?
Sure. I mean, music does help me. I mean, I don't really do it for... I don't use music to get necessarily into an emotional place, okay, but I usually have some songs that inform the character.
Okay.
Like, I pick songs that the character would listen to.
Oh, that's good.
And that helps me get into the headspace of the character. But I don't manipulate myself into sadness with songs
and
necessarily.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a quick fix, and it is, if it does push
if
that
it works,
button.
Yeah. But I, for me, sad songs I find more soothing than upsetting.
Okay.
You know, because if things are really shitty and I listen to Trouble by Cat Stevens, mm-hmm, it makes me feel better.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm not alone. You know,
oh, yeah. That
people
completely
have
makes
trouble.
Sense.
If I'm in a bad in sadness these days, it's just not like people just don't want to. Like, we had to put our cat to sleep last week, little Kay. Sorry, I just dropped a bomb on you. Sorry. We just did it on Saturday.
Todd!
Sorry. I'm sorry. Yeah, she's...
Are you serious right now?
Yeah, she died. She's dead. She's gone. It's
and the sad part is, I could put a sad song on right now, and it's not going to make me feel better.
Feel better. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Her kidneys went. So, yeah. We tried to keep her alive for a while. We were putting fluids in her back for a couple weeks, but she just kept getting sick, and then she stopped eating, and she would just lie there, and... She was miserable, and sometimes
wow,
she'd just, like, cry because she
oh,
felt
I didn't know
awful.
That.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been sad around here, this house, the last few months. It's been
yeah,
a lot of sadness.
Yeah, a few things, yeah.
When it rains, it pours, right?
Yes, it does.
So, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, what was I, why did I bring
I don't
that
know,
up?
But
why did I bring that up? Just to upset you.
Messed up my flow, dude.
Just to upset
okay,
you.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, sorry about that bomb. But that, you know, that's... Oh, I know why. Because, like, someone, like, texted Hill and was like, hey, you know, they're like, blah, 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 blah. We got this, we got that. How you doing? You know? And she texted back, not really great.
Yes.
You know, this has happened. This happened with the cat and this happened. And then they responded, oh, I think you meant this text for somebody else.
What?
Yeah, because... When most people ask you how you are, they don't really want to know.
They
just want you to say
truth.
Fine.
Yeah.
And if you're fucking negative and sad, they don't want to deal with it.
That's very true.
And, you know, except for your very closest friends, which I guess is what makes them your closest friends. But
no, but we're all human beings and we all go through something.
Right. So but it's not okay. It's not okay. Like, it's not okay. Like, I have to walk into an audition room. Even after I just put my cat to sleep,
yeah,
and I have to walk into an audition room and be like, hey, guys, how you doing?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And even if you're doing a sad scene, they want the initial, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
You can't just walk in.
Yeah, you're right.
Because then they think, oh, this guy's depressed and we don't
want to
deal with that.
Yeah.
You know?
They want a happy set.
And it's true socially, too. Like, if you tell, you know, you have your grades of friends.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have, you know, your party acquaintances who are like, hey, what are we doing? And you're like, I don't know. I don't feel like doing anything. I'm bummed out. I mean, I could go for a distraction, get together for drinks.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm fucking depressed about this, that, and the other thing. And they're like, ah.
Well,
I think you meant this text for somebody else.
That is the most, heartless thing to do. I mean, did she never text back after they said that?
I don't know what transpired.
That's
it was
ridiculous.
Just that, yeah, I don't know that she bothered.
Because I even have situations where someone will be like, hey, how you doing? I'll be like, hey, I'm kind of tired. And the look of like,
oh my
tired?
God,
like,
yeah.
It's just, yeah, aren't you? Like, you
yeah.
got more bags under your eyes than I do.
Yeah, you
like, I'm just,
shit.
I'm telling
yeah.
the truth. Like,
yeah.
it's 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I'm tired, aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, it's just amazing to me that people really can't handle, not the truth, but exactly what, the mirror that you put up to them.
Right.
It's like, I'm not saying anything that, you know, you're broke too.
Yeah.
You don't want to go to work either today. You want to stay in bed and watch TV too. So if I'm just saying exactly what you're feeling, the fact of like, you're being honest, I can't handle this.
Right.
You're so right. Yeah, this world has definitely come to the, we're happy. No, everything's great.
If we don't think positively, then negative things will happen. Negative things are going to happen to you anyway. It's the fucking world.
It's the world. It's life.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Well, people are of the belief, don't give in to it. And I understand what they're saying. If you go around saying, now this, now that, I understand what they're saying with that. But I think people are saying, if you don't give into it, and if you, I know one girl who's always like, even if I don't feel good, I just smile and I laugh, and then eventually my day is better and eventually I feel better. But if I give into it and I'm angry and bitter and stuff, then my day is worse. So I just smile, and that's her,
I guess,
way of, you know, coping.
But I find I feel better if I'm miserable. So I'm honest about being miserable, you know? It's like my head really fucking hurts today.
Right.
That, you know? It's like I feel bad because my wife comes home and he's like, hey, how was your day? Awful. My head hurt all fucking day. But, you know.
But you're being honest.
But I'm being honest.
And you're not going to fake. Great, honey. No, I just was great.
No, everything's great. I mean, and I don't, you know, complain about it all the time, which I could, but, you know.
It's there. It's obvious.
But sometimes when it's bad, I just need to say, it's fucking bad. It's fucking shitty. Today was shitty. Today I had to, like, yesterday I was going to an audition for like a show, and I got over the hill, and it was like deep, like over, not all the way in Silver Lake. There's like a little studio over there.
Okay.
Yeah, almost Los Feliz, but not quite.
Okay.
You know, I guess it's like East Hollywood. I don't know, whatever it is. But I got there, like, over the hill, and I had to piss.
Right.
Like a racehorse. Because I was hydrating, you know, before I left, and I'd worked out, and then I had to pee.
Okay.
And I went to three different fucking places. Like, I stopped at a gas station, and I went in, and I was like, do you have a restroom? And he's like, yeah, well, it's being cleaned right now.
Oh,
and I was like,
God.
Well, can he take a break from cleaning? I really have to pee. And he's like, no. And I was like, really? I really have to pee. He's like, he's going to be 10 or 15 minutes.
Are you joking?
I was like,
I've never seen a clean restroom at a gas station.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. I'll just go to the next place. And I went to another place, and I went into a restaurant, and I was like, can I use your restroom? And they're like, it's for customers only. I was like, I really have to pee. Like, I'll buy a taco or whatever. They're like, no. You got to sit down and eat. And I was like, oh,
seriously?
I really have to pee. Really have to pee. And then, like, I left there, and I was like, fuck. And then it was in a strip mall, and there was, like a doctor's office in the strip mall.
Uh-huh.
And I just went into the doctor's office, and I went up to the receptionist lady. And I was like, can I use your restroom, please? And she's like, are you a patient?
Oh my God.
And I was like, no, but I have to pee so bad.
No,
right,
you did
now.
Not.
I said, no, I started begging. I said, please just let me use your bathroom. I know it's for patients. I have to pee so bad. And nobody's letting me use their bathrooms, please.
Are you serious?
And she was like, all right, it's over there. And I was like, thank you so much. Thank you. I had to beg to piss. Like, and I was like, I had said to myself,
hysterical.
If they don't let me use this bathroom, I'm going to walk outside and I'm just going to fucking take my dick out in the middle of the parking lot and I'm going to piss. I'm just going to fucking piss. I'm going to let,
my God.
Like the cops can come and arrest me for indecent exposure. I have to pee. My bladder's going to explode.
That is hysterical.
It was horrible.
I love it.
Yeah. So,
I love it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I, you know, and if I have a day like that, I'll tell people, you know, I don't know. I think I'm just better when I'm cranky. I feel better if I'm openly cranky.
Well, you're just being
cranky, honest.
And some people just aren't the, you know, floating on a cloud, everything's so great. I mean, I personally can't relate to the doing backflips every time you wake up. And, you know, a lot of times I go on Facebook and a lot of my friends, no offense, but a lot of them are, you know, I love my life and, you know, love and light and, you know, just think positive and this and the other. And
but
I
don't you
that, think
that's fucking bullshit? Like when somebody, all they post is, I mean, because I know some of these people,
yeah,
and all they'll post is, you know,
positive,
this is my kid's great, and this is great,
yeah,
and that's great, and that's, like, the,
like, it's phony. It's fake.
It's what it's, they you're want not, to paint. Yeah. And I understand, in other words, instead of count your blessings. That's the sure, gist sure, of everything. And sure. That, there was a thing floating around on Facebook a few months ago where they'd tax or they'd make someone say, okay, I select you. You have to name 7 things you're happy about or 7 things you feel positive about today. And then you say, okay, these are the 7 things. Or you do it 7 days in a row right. or something. Then you get someone else to do it and they have to name 3 things that are positive every day.
Right.
So someone had said, okay, Dre, you're up. Okay. And yeah. I said, please don't nominate me. I'm grateful for what I'm grateful for. I don't want to post it on Facebook. You know, there's a lot of crappy things that happen in my life, but there are positive things. I just don't need to publicize it.
Right.
But I honestly think the people that are constantly like, oh, I love my life and I'm so blessed and, you know, thank God for this. And
right.
I think what they're really trying to do is say, okay, I'm not going to be negative. I'm done crying. I'm done throwing up my food. I'm just going to like really try to find the positives in life and that will change my outlook. And I think a lot of times it does work.
Here's the list. Sure. Here's the list, though, when they say name 7 things. Like, these are the types of things you list. Like, this is what I do when I get those. It's like, all right, positive things about today. I haven't had diarrhea yet.
Oh, that's so bad.
I didn't have to go to the proctologist today and get a finger put in my ass.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
That's so bad because then yeah. they're going to get mad that you're not taking it seriously.
I didn't get food poisoning. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I wasn't attacked by ISO. is that what they're called now? Is it ISIS? ISO? I don't know. I don't know what they're called. They change the name all the time.
I think people would, you're missing the point. And I think people would get, some people might be like, he doesn't get it. He's so ungrateful.
Yeah, wise ass. Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, if that's what carries you through the day. I know my sense of humor has carried me through some dark times. But I definitely am just not the type of person that always has to glorify how great life is and how happy I am. Because I feel like it's one thing if is you survive something horrific and it's like, oh my God, I was finally able to get out of bed today and, you know, life goes on. Like if something horrific happened to you and you're posting like, you know, today was the first day I didn't cry.
Right.
That's one thing. But I think it's another thing where it's just, I love my life. Love it. Live
great.
It.
Yeah, great.
Why would you have time to go and post about it if you're really living your life?
Well, yeah, isn't it kind of gloating if that's what you're doing on Facebook?
Lying. I don't go gloating at all.
Well,
lying.
I mean, assuming
if you're in the
that-
moment, if you're having the best time of your life, why would I? Hold on. Let me get my phone and just tell everybody how happy I
yeah.
am right now.
No, I'll post things when I'm in a good mood, but it's usually but know, it's, specific.
It's specific.
You know?
It's not, look how happy I am.
Right, right.
Look at my cat.
Yeah.
That's not... I'm so upset that you told me about that cat!
Sorry.
I can't believe you did that to me.
Sorry.
Oh, my God. But you know what I mean? So I think we're on the same page about that. But I think all in all, I think you are who you are. I think you... Regardless of the bullies back in the day... You never gave his name, right? The main guy.
No.
No. Are you scared to?
You know...
You don't want to...
He may, I don't know that much about him as an adult and, okay. You know, maybe has kids or whatever.
And karma would be if somebody's bullying his kids the way he bullied you. That would be karma.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't wish that on his kids.
I'm
I
not wishing
wish
it
that,
either,
yeah.
but don't you know that that's what karma
yeah,
is?
Yeah, that's what's karma. Or he's just raising more bullies, which is more likely the case.
Ouch.
But I have to, you know, assume the best. Maybe he's grown up. Maybe he's a dad and a husband, and if I drop his name, he knows who the fuck he is. Mm. And everybody from my hometown knows who the fuck I'm talking about.
I love it.
So, I don't need his kids to know that I was bullied by their dad, and I think their dad is an asshole. They, you know.
I love it. I love it.
That doesn't help.
No, it doesn't help, but I just love that you know, this is kind of like you survived, you moved on, and you're doing so much better than maybe you even imagined. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know, in those dark days of freshman year, I don't know what you thought your future would be, but I just feel
I
like,
don't think I was thinking about my future.
Really?
I was just thinking about getting through the day without being humiliated.
Wow.
To just avoiding, hiding whenever I could. Because, you know, after lunch, the doors would all be locked because the teachers hadn't got back.
Okay.
But if I could find a way to get into the classroom
before,
so I could be in the classroom and just hide there and not get
What a D-bag. I can't believe he put you through that. But you know what? You're on your own. You're on a TV show. You're booking commercials. You are happily married. You have a beautiful son.
That's true.
You know? You just... You have a great movie collection. I mean, if we had an earthquake, we'd be dead. Like, if all these movies fell down on us, forget about
it. Well, the oak shelves would probably hurt, but they're stuck into the walls.
Okay.
But
I'm saying the movies, if the movies all fell on us.
It would hurt, but I don't think it would kill you, because they're just pieces of plastic. They're essentially
tons
light.
And tons of pieces of plastic.
Yeah, it would be aggravating, but it wouldn't kill you. You'd probably have some, you know, scrapes and...
Bruises,
but you'd walk away.
That's the main
thing.
I'd walk away,
assuming that the house, you know, wasn't swallowed up into the ground. I mean, I don't know what kind of size earthquake we're talking about.
We're just talking about the little shaky shake one where everyone kind of freaks out for a minute.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah,
if I'll be fine from that, but not the ceiling fan. But
the ceiling fan is going to kill you. Final destination.
My final destination. I was just about to say that. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah.
Well, I had fun talking with you.
I had a great time on your show.
This was kind of a serious episode.
It turned serious.
You know, I didn't mean to go so dark, but
that's okay.
At least we're not
There's comedy and darkness, isn't there?
Yeah, but
we've had a few laughs.
Yeah, and some almost tears. But has been definitely a deeper conversation than I thought we were going to have. But I enjoy stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the way podcasts go. You never know what you're getting into.
You never know what you're getting into. Yeah. And I think I'm going to have to, what is it, Cat Stevens, Trouble?
Trouble.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to start listening to that song now and see if that soothes me as much as it soothes you.
Yeah, well, maybe. It is very soothing. I mean, it's super sad.
Okay.
He's just saying, Trouble, get away. I've had enough.
I love that.
He's saying, I've had enough, Trouble. You've done enough. You can go.
Get a tattoo of that.
Yeah. Do it. Get a tattoo.
Put it right on my rib cage.
I'm going to get a tattoo of Ryan Reynolds' abs on my stomach.
You and Ryan. That is the problem.
Oh, maybe.
Leave that man alone.
Yeah, he's kind of over. I'll go Ryan Gosling. I'll get Gosling's abs. Or maybe Hugh Jackman.
Kind of over the wolf.
Yeah, but the abs.
Yeah.
So it's about the abs.
All right. I mean, you know. Nick Jonas has abs now. I mean, it can be done. It can be done. You just need a kick-ass trainer who's going to just yell in your ear like a army sergeant and, you know, not eat.
Nah.
Yeah, that's...
I like life too much to have abs.
I like food too much to have abs.
Yeah.
That's more important to me.
Fuck that. I have abs. They're just buried under a few layers of fat.
And a Red Bull.
I call it my zombie survival fat. Because people who have 0% body fat, they're gonna fucking starve before I will.
That's true.
I got a lot of shit to burn when I'm running from zombies.
At least you'll be 3 episodes worth versus 1.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you could be recurring instead of
recurring. Recurring on The Walking Dead. I'd do that show. I like zombies.
I love that show. Can't wait for it to come back.
I don't love it, but I would do it.
I like it.
And I watch it.
Yes, okay. You've been watching all of them.
I've seen them all, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I go in and out with it. Like, that season with the barn, no.
I like that one more than the prison.
I like the prison more.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like...
Well, I really like Shane. That's the problem.
There was too much talking. There was too much talking in the barn one. It was like the opposite of Night of the Living Dead. Okay. The original, like, modern zombie fable.
Yeah.
That movie's about a bunch of people trapped in a farmhouse, right?
Okay.
And the zombies are descending on the farmhouse. Therefore, terrifying.
Yeah.
And their dramatics that play out, like socially relevant dramatics dealing with racism and all these cool themes and elements in that movie. Mm-hmm. And in The Walking Dead, it was season 2, right?
Yeah.
With the barn?
Yeah.
All the zombies are trapped in the barn. And the people just hang out in the farmhouse getting into bullshit relationship stuff.
Like, I don't get that. I don't really. I don't get that in Walking Dead.
It's the end of the world. You don't want to just be running from zombies. You still want to have relationships with normal human beings.
Yeah, but in survival mode, in survival situation. I mean, I think there would be relationships, and those relationships would play out naturally according to the action and the survivalist stuff that happens. But I don't think you'd pause and stop and have heart to hearts. I just don't.
Yes, you would. If you think you may die within the next day, you would divulge everything. You would just be like, and I always felt this way. And you would. If you thought you were dying, you would.
Yeah, if you're dying.
Talk to anybody whose plane is about to crash down. It's like, oh, I should have said this. I should have done.
That's a different situation. Like, if your plane is crashing, you're powerless. You're powerless.
And they are powerless, too.
No, they're not. They're surviving. It's a survivalist tale.
If you're in a survival mode.
Their focus would be on survival, not on their interpersonal relationships.
But that's what feeds you. Because if you're just in survival mode and you don't have a personal relationship, why go on?
Well, sure, there are personal relationships. Yeah, no, totally. What I'm saying is those personal relationships would certainly exist in the survival mode. Maybe you'd butt heads about things about, like, fighting zombies and stuff. I don't think that you'd hang out and have heart to hearts. I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it.
Okay.
In a zombie apocalypse, I don't buy it.
Okay.
I think you would be focused on not getting eaten by zombies. That would be the only thing that would be in the forefront. It'd be the only thing you'd talk about. The only thing you'd fucking worry about. All the underlying stuff would be there.
Yeah.
And if in a well-written show, it would all be there and you would know it's there and that would add to the dramatic tension.
Yeah.
But that was the thing about that second season. It's like, what are we doing here? Are we having, like, a love-in? Or are we dealing with the
But they were safe for a second. They weren't being bombarded for a minute. So it was like, oh, we're in the farmhouse. We can finally breathe.
Hence,
it's not like every episode was like, oh, my God, they're here. They're here. I love you. As they're, like, killing a zombie. It's like, what was good was, we can finally breathe. Look, we have a little farmhouse. We can eat dinner. We can shower.
Sure. If you want to do Little House on the Prairie, do Little House on the Prairie. No need for zombies. You don't need a zombie show to do Little House on the Prairie. They did it. It's great. The family worked stuff out and they found Jesus and all that stuff. You can do that show.
Right.
But don't tell me it's a zombie show if it's Little House on the Prairie. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Little House on the Zombie. How about that? No, that doesn't even make sense.
Little House. Actually, it's a good idea. Little House on the Prairie with zombies.
With zombies. And Half Pint would be a zombie and Little Buttercup would be a zombie horse.
I'd watch that.
Yeah, I think I would watch that too.
Do you have to sign off at the end of your show?
I guess so. I don't know. Unless you just say end. All right, so I guess this is me, Alexandre Antoine, signing out. We had a fabulous time talking to Todd Robert Anderson. I hope you guys had fun listening to all his beliefs and angst and stories. It's been a delight.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.